You are listening.
Southend.
Hello, and welcome back to another edition of Sleep and Thrive, the podcast dedicated to helping you unlock and understand the power of a good night's sleep. Help us unlock and yield said power is Dan Everson, sleep coach from Sleep and Thrive. Dan, how's your power yielding going?
My power levels feel high.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Good.
Although I have other levels that feel low.
We can say other levels that feel high.
I have differentiating levels of powerness.
The levels, yeah, it's like those attributes you get in a PlayStation game where you can only have some high and some have to be low. If that one's high, then that one's
got
to be low.
I've definitely got extremes.
Yeah.
I've got highs, and I've got extreme highs and extreme lows. Got nothing in the middle.
Nothing is mediocre.
Yeah.
That's good though, isn't it?
My patience is normally extremely low.
Join the club, definitely. Good to see you. We're here today at whatever the hell the time is.
We don't know. Time is just an irrelevant factor in our world.
Time isn't money. What's the phrase? Einstein said something about time, didn't he?
It's relative.
That's it. That's the word I was looking for.
Is it relative?
Yeah, apparently. Whatever that means. I think he didn't know where the time was, basically, innit?
No, I think he lost his watch that day.
Yeah, they said, oh, you're late. And he went, time is relative. And they were like, that's a good one. Let's print that.
I'm on time somewhere in the world, he said. And that was his argument.
The reason we bring up time is because today we're going to talk about the changing of the clocks.
The clocks.
Oh.
The changing. The darn clocks.
Before we get into it, how good are you at changing the time on the oven and the car?
And a microwave was one of
Another one, isn't it?
Yeah.
No one changes it.
And you know, analog clocks, you have to from our old workplace, go around the office and change all the clocks. Rubbish job.
I just used to leave them and then go, oh, I had to be on.
Going home, bye.
Yeah, it definitely says that at a clock, yeah.
Yeah. That was always my job, in our little dynamic of a family.
Yeah.
Certain things were dad's job only, cutting the grass, making sure the MOT is sorted. This is very stereotypical. Changing the oven clocks twice a year.
Yeah, it is usually designated to one person, isn't it?
Yeah.
And how long do you leave it?
The hoovering, that was me.
6 months?
Oh. I would always do it when I noticed that it was wrong.
Yeah, okay. So for the first three weeks, you're like, for everything.
I'm well early. Oh, no, I'm not.
Yeah.
But I changed that. Yeah, that's when it normally happens.
I am the person who leaves their car in the wrong time. And then I'm driving to something and I'm thinking, oh, God, I'm so late. Oh, God, I'm going to be really early. What's happened here?
You live life on the edge.
I do.
What it is.
I do. I just add and subtract all the time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's mentally exhausting and really bad timekeeping.
Yeah. But always a party.
It's always interesting. Yeah.
That's good to know.
Yeah, so if I'm an hour late.
My microwave doesn't have a clock on it now.
Does it not?
No. Every time I look at it.
Wow.
I think, why hasn't it got the time on it? It's a big screen there.
It doesn't really need it though, does it?
No.
Who's doing a microwave design? I'm going, I'm late for dinner.
No. And what happens if you don't have an oven or a microwave clock?
You're just never on time.
Yeah. You're just always late in the kitchen.
The kitchen doesn't need its time. The
kitchen is timeless.
Yeah, absolutely. The world revolves around the food anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. So we're going to talk about, obviously, the impacts it has on sleep when we change the time and change the clock. Do you know anything about the origins of it and why on earth we do it? Because it feels like torturous. I'm sure there is some reason.
I know the origins because I was alive 100 years ago. And
way
not aged because there's no clocks in my world. I know the origins of it according to Google.
Okay, yeah, that's good enough.
Or Wikipedia. So obviously this is complete fact. Well, no, I do know somewhat. So from my research, extensive research, whittling down to the actual facts of the situation. Yeah. Is that there are a number of historical reasons why it was implemented. And nevertheless, to say whether you could argue whether they are now relevant or not, but Just to sort of jump back slightly. So we have British Standard Time, which is autumn and winter,
which is a dark, cold months. Oh, yeah. When you wake up in the dark.
Yeah.
It feels like it lasts forever. And it's then only half the year, but it feels like three quarters.
Yeah. And it's almost like you're always building up to the good one, or not the good one. But then you have British Standard Time, which is winter and autumn, and that's where we fall back. So the clocks go back an hour, and then we gain an hour's sleep. So people call that the good one.
That is a good one, yeah. You get an extra hour in bed, it's
that
nice.
That is the good one. And you'll see, well, there's some facts that support that in a second. So that's the good one. And then you have daylight savings time, which happens in the spring and the summer. And that's the one where we spring forwards an hour on the clocks. And that's where we lose an hour of sleep. That's the bad one.
Yeah.
But we do gain extra or more daylight in the evening for the spring and summer, which everyone enjoys. So that's the two differences. Some of the history around it was, or at least some of the well-known or at least well-googled history, is that it was to conserve energy, especially through the wartime. So 100 years ago or more, now when the First World War, it was implemented by Germany to conserve energy, mostly coal, by having extra hours of light in the evening. So, you know, war's on, got to conserve coal. So we'll change the clocks, obviously.
Yeah.
And that will burn less coal.
We'll just wind them all back a bit.
Yeah. And that was most of the, even the rationale now behind changing it or keeping it is around energy and around light.
Daylight times.
Yeah, so, you know, some things about, oh, it's for the farmers and it's for this. And it's
I heard that.
That was always a thing at school.
I always blamed the farmer for it when I had to get up early.
It's like way up north when they're trying to do farming and they're tripping over themselves in the dark. It's for them.
So you had a fit of this tractor. You end up ploughing a perfectly good patio. Yeah.
So it is essentially around light and therefore energy thereafter. So that was always a rationale behind it. And again, it happened around the First World War. And it's gone through a number of changes throughout the period. For instance, at the moment, about 1.6 billion people across the planet observe daylight savings time and the change across about 70 countries. So that's 120 plus countries that do not observe daylight savings time.
Wow, hats off to them. They're like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, and year on year, there are countries that are, you know, moving away from it and not observing it anymore. Of course, the closer to the equator you are, the more light you have and the less you need it. And of course, the more north you are in the hemisphere and sometimes south, if you know, those sort of French Polynesian and New Zealand, etc., you're going to find that you have more requirement for light at certain periods of the year. So the countries that normally observe it or do observe it are either the larger countries or the ones that are more north and further, extreme north or extreme south, if you like okay. Europe.
So those in Antarctica listening?
Yeah.
They're really a big fan.
The clocks are constantly on the go.
Yeah.
changing a lot. So that's some of the history around it, and that's the amount of people. And so you can imagine twice a year this happens. It's not once a year, it's twice a year. So it's the spring and the autumn time where the clocks are changed. 1.6 million people, some 1.6 billion people are affected by this.
That's just the people. Imagine the clocks.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone's probably got at least 15 clocks.
It's a lot of buttons pressed.
Yeah.
Do you press the button, like, you know, constantly to change the time, or do you press and hold and hope that it's
fast? To press and hold, but I always miss, and then I have to press it another 11 times because I've gone over.
Yeah, I'm gonna press and hold. I'm not
game of chicken, isn't it?
I'm gonna press and hold and hope that goes really quick, and it's always slower than if I just did it myself manually quickly. I'm just self.
Yeah, just have faith in the. It's like brinkmanship, and it's like
that's us. What do we call? We're not millennials, are we? What are we?
I don't know what lots of words people would use, I'm sure.
Yeah, we want it now. So this happens, of course, twice a year. And I'd say for most people, you'd either sit into three different categories. You'd be one, you could not give, and I don't want to try to be clean, help me out here.
A monkey's.
You don't give a monkey's. You don't give.
You don't give a flying clock.
You don't give a flying clock.
Love that.
You don't care for this event. It's a non-event in your life, and it. You couldn't care less for it. And there's a lot of people that sit in that category where the weeks leading up to and the weeks after the clock's changing is a non-event for them. It's a bore fest and they're moving on with their life. And that's great. Yeah, the other extreme of the people, which it affects them quite a lot. They have, whether they have a circadian rhythm disorder, whether they have a sensitivity to light, whether they're, you know, young children, for instance, it can make a difference for them. Whether they are a shift worker or a number of people, it can actually impact their life quite a lot. Or if they're a terrible sleeper, they have insomnia, for instance, you know, it makes, or a number of other sleep disorders, it can really impact them. And it can be something they dread, and it can last, you know, the worry about it a month before it and then the change after. So this is sort of the two extremes. But for most people, I'd say sit in the middle. I'm saying this, like, this is probably where I used to be or am. And that is, it's nuanced in a way, and you understand it and you go, oh, the clock's changed tomorrow night or last night. And it can be a slight nuisance in your world,
yeah,
because you have to try and make the dog or cat sit and wait another hour for their food or force them to eat it when they're not hungry. Or you have small children in which their bedtimes and their wake times change, or you're a shift worker or your work and the light is something which you rely on for a number of reasons. So for most people, they sit in the middle where it's just annoying for a couple of weeks, but once they get through it, they get through it.
I'm just thinking of people who must work in some sort of logistical capacity. If you're like the air flight controller, and suddenly the times have changed in some countries and they haven't changed in other countries, and then you've got planes coming at you, expecting to land at different times. How confusing must that be? I mean, they must be in the camp of stop this madness.
Oh yeah, I bet they're down tools. They're just down tools. So everyone's...
between the hours of whatever that is and whatever that is, I'm not taking calls.
You got a week's grace, and then I'll come back to work. Until then, you're flying solo, so to speak.
Whatever time it is in your country, I don't.
I mean, these countries, you know, they've got, you know, whatever the time zone they're in, plus one, minus two. They must have these planes flying around with these different sort of minuses and pluses above them, because they're coming from countries at certain times and they're crossing three zones.
Sure what time it is anyway.
And this all does tie into jet lag, because the symptoms that you have following the changes of the clocks are the same symptoms you get if you was to go across a number of time zones and then try and come back through them again. You know, you have these jet lag type symptoms, which is essentially what happens. You know, much like if you was to go to... you have an absolute crazy party weekend and then Monday comes around, you have jet lag symptoms because you just shifted time zones for Friday night, Saturday night, and then you try and come back again on for Monday. You just...
Thinking of it as global jet lag.
Yeah.
It's as if our world has just spun across a bit and we've all travelled.
Yeah.
And we're all like, oh, I'm knackered after that journey.
Social jet lag, they call it.
Social jet lag, yeah.
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 Or a social hangover. But either way, these types of changes to our clocks affect us, because we've all known what happens if we wake up and go to bed at a similar sort of time through the week, and then we have social events and other things that happen. We go camping, for instance. Oh my gosh. And then you just wake up when the sun comes up and your rhythms are out, your timing is out. And then there is an effect along, you know, physiologically speaking, you have that affects you in a number of ways. And then you're going to, you know, that's going to change, and you're going to feel differently, and you're not going to feel great. And just for some of the facts behind it, for instance, they did a number of studies, and there are some, and when I heard this, I literally fell off my chair. So if you're sitting down, brace yourself. And that was that they looked back at empirical data over, say, 15 or 17 years at some certain studies in some certain countries, and they found that cardiac events increased some 24% on the Monday following the daylight savings time, or the springing forward.
25%?
So by losing an hour of sleep that weekend, that Sunday when it changes, Sunday night, Sunday morning, on the Monday, increasing cardiac events by 24%.
Whoa.
And they checked back over a number of years on this, and to find that whilst this is correlated, it's a type of evidence here to say that one didn't cause the other, but certainly they looked back over a number of years and it was on that Monday.
Yeah.
The increase. And subsequently in October, when we...
Was that
back,
because everyone in the cardiology department didn't change the time of their watch and turned up an hour late?
Stressed in traffic, heart pumping at the chest.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so, and in October, when we fall back and you gain an hour's sleep, they found that the cardiac events reduced by 21%. And this isn't just... This is across, you know, 1.6 billion people. They checked it over 15 years at a number of medical facilities to find this data was...
That is incredible. So the positive is about 21.
Yeah.
And the negative is about... So there's a correlation in the number even. Sure. It's around about the same.
Yeah, it's around about the same. And just understanding that, and when I say this, there's a number of other factors at play that we haven't discussed. It's not just because the clocks change. You know, there's a number of contributing factors. Okay, you are at risk of cardiac events in the first place. And then you lose an hour of sleep. And that is the type of impact we're talking about in relation to cardiac events and the changing of the clocks. And these types of facts, whether, you know, that is something which you could, you know, you could point a finger and argue at some of the data around that and some of the areas that would impact that type of studies. A number of countries, you know, don't observe it anymore. We observed it in 1968 for 3 years, you know, and we decided that, and Howard Wilson rang, we're going to change the clock. We kept the standard British standard time for 3 years until we changed back again to, you know, observing both daylight savings and British standard time as an experiment, if you like. So there is lots of criticism and global defiance around it. Lots of people that want to keep it or want to abolish it. Lots of people that observe it and don't. And there's pros and cons. And whilst, as somebody who enjoys life in many ways, I love the daylight savings time. I love the sun in the evenings.
The longer nights.
Yeah. Sit in the garden, you know, around a little log fire and
barbecue.
Watching kids.
Yeah.
There might be some cold beverages around and all that stuff. Like, you know, very nice.
I think like barbecues.
Yes. Yes. But with my sort of sleep hat on, the effects that has on somebody's circadian rhythm, having to change, you know, when you eat, when you exercise, when you move, when you wake, when you sleep, twice a year, that causes a cardiac misalignment, and that can be enough to put people at greater risk of health implications. It is enough to affect people physiologically speaking, you know, in relation to their health and how they navigate that time. And so enough data to show that the circadian change and circadian health is really important. And it, for every single mammal, you know, while certainly the ones that observe the change in the time, that's going to be impacting upon your life, having to change everything twice a year.
Are there studies in animals? Because I feel like this would be interesting to see. Do the flamingo population decide to ever stick the forwards, clocks forward an hour, and suddenly they'll wake up?
Well, definitely not. But I don't know. Oh, sorry. I don't know directly sitting here of any animal studies. I do know that, you know, migratory birds, you know, that is...
Yeah, they'll just up sticks and go.
They don't have clocks and calendars.
Sunny and
they just know the temperature and the rising, the falling of the sun and when to move and when not to. You know, lots of mammals sleep longer and less than us. You know, a giraffe sleeps 3 or 4 hours and, you know, the brown bat might sleep 22. There's, you know, the circadian, the circadian rhythm for that particular species and that particular mammal is going to be slightly different. And so having studies upon certain types of species, especially mammals, is going to be, you're going to have, you know, the results will be different in that way. I don't suppose, the only thing I can think of would be a domestic animal, because of course we change our behaviours dependent on the clocks. You know, the pet is not going to know that it's now dinner time. Yesterday it was an hour later, but today it's now.
Yeah. Sorry for the parrots and all this.
Yeah. And I you may recall, but I remember, you know, having pets growing up that the cat would be sitting by the cat bowl, you know, following the change of time.
Come on.
An hour early.
Bin.
Or it wouldn't be interested when you just put the food down, because it's normally it's an hour later. And that takes a couple of weeks to get used to, and that's pretty much for everyone.
Yeah.
But that can be, you know, for the poor domestic animal.
Very confusing.
Yeah, it can be confusing. It's just a bit rubbish. And so...
With your sleep coach hat on, would you, given the option, would you leave one as it is? Would you take them both away, or would you leave them both as it is?
Good question. With my sleep hat on, and it hurts to say this, I would keep the British standard time, which is the autumn winter one, because that aligns with our circadian rhythm better. Because what happens in the British, in daylight savings time in the spring and summer, what happens is, because it's later, longer, we then release certain hormones for sleep when it's dark. So if it's darker later, we will release hormones and chemicals later, which means we go to bed later.
Yeah.
But our world hasn't changed. We still have to get up. We still have to commute. She has to travel and work. So what happens is people naturally start to go to bed later, but still have to wake up at the same time.
Yeah.
So what you do, you have this chronic sleep loss epidemic
for the whole summer.
1.6 billion people who are essentially going to bed a bit later and still getting up because our body's circadian rhythm is externally determined by the light and dark cycles of our Earth. So when we stay in daylight savings time and have lovely longer evenings of sun, we are impacting people by going to bed later and getting up early. And also your chronotype, you know, your preference for whether you're a morning person or late or an evening or, you know, a night owl. Imagine being an early bird or a night owl.
Yeah.
You're having to try and navigate your way around. So circadian, from a circadian rhythm misalignment perspective and from a sleep hat on, I'd always say having the darkness happen in the evening, around sort of 6, 7 p.m. is better for us because it gives us that signal. Okay, now it's nighttime. It starts to time relax and we're ready. We're preparing ourselves for rest and for sleep.
Yeah.
A couple of hours after the sun went down, our ancestors went to bed. A couple of hours after it gets dark, you know, from 6, 7 o'clock, we're going to go to bed. That's what we want to happen. That's how it should happen. But in the summer, for 6 months, so the year, spring and summer, we have a jolly up and we change that. and that can impact us, and that's why there's lots of resistance to the change.
Interesting. See, I think it's what's funny is that it's all digital, and now because the clocks change themselves a lot of time on your phone,
yeah,
that sort of stuff, the whole world runs on that kind of clock. Whereas the invention of time came from a sundial, which was obviously, I imagine, would just change itself naturally throughout the year. So what we need really is a giant global sundial.
Yeah.
Stick one on the moon and then we'll just follow that.
That'll be good.
Yeah.
I have to get some serious binoculars out to see where it is. Morning. See, he's on the dark side of the moon today. Oh, we're done for. It's just lawless. Shops won't open. Buses won't run.
So for people who start with a bigger challenge, a lot of us do, what are some of your tips? How can we cope with it from a sleep perspective?
Oh, okay. If you feel like, you know, you struggle or you need to make a change with it, because like I said, most people don't even, they just go with a change, no, they just go with the flow. It's three things I'd say. One is make some small changes, because, you know, if you wait until the change and then change 1 hour in a day,
yeah,
you know, if you went on holiday, you know, and you went across, say, five time zones, at 5 hours difference, then it's going to take you about 5 days, you know.
I'm pretending on it perfectly.
You'd understand that your body and your brain need time to adjust to that zone, and it's about 30 to 60 minutes per day. So if we are changing, then
you just could have moved the team side by the full.
And it's earlier or later, depending on the time of the year it is. So you want to be having, you know, having your meal 10 minutes earlier, or going to bed 10 minutes earlier, or waking up 10 minutes earlier or later, depending on which the change it is. So when the change happens, you know, your body has started to adjust and you're doing badly. Oh, that sounds a bit crazy to start turning on someone that's a bit out of your habit, changing. But they all change our habits and we to any of them.
Yeah.
And people adapt better than others. So I'd say just whatever you do, start small and do it for, say, 7 days beforehand. That's what most people do, is they do it the day before, or sorry, the day after. They go, oh my goodness, you know, and it's changed the clock.
Suddenly it's all jumped.
And what they end up doing is, rightly or wrongly, it doesn't matter, because they make changes the day after and it takes about 5, 6, 7 days to, you know, get back in through these. So some people don't care when they adjust myself. So try. So adjustments you do make, makes small.
Sake of family pets, it would be easier. Think of the fish.
The sake of Lucky, sitting at the cat bowl, staring at you lovingly.
Yeah.
Willing you to open the tin.
Come on.
Food. Come on, it must be. So that's the first little tip I'd give. Another tip I'd give, and not in particular order, is just to be kind to yourself, because if you put pressure on yourself to try and say sleep at a certain time or wake at a certain time or change some of your habits around exercise and eating and sleeping, then, you know, just understand that you'll change. And also, if you go through in April where you lose an ounce, you're feeling the effects of that. Be kind to yourself. You've gone for, it's been hundreds and thousands maybe of evenings and mornings where you've woken up feeling not very refreshed and you've lost some sleep. So you can cope with less sleep. You've done it before and it will happen again. So, not too worried. Be kind to yourself, knowing that this change, why should I want it to happen? You've coped before. So whichever part of the year it is, normally the April one is the one that people would struggle with. So that's another one. Be kind to yourself. If you can imagine, if people go east for holidays, so they have to then go to bed a bit later. Most people couldn't do that easier. Like if you was to go somewhere and we observe, we enjoy happy hour a bit later here. Well, we have dinner about 9 p.m. on the, in the Mediterranean.
Oh yeah, it was happy hour.
We go to bed a bit later because it's lighter and it's warmer, and so we go to bed a bit later here and wake up a bit later.
Yeah,
That's easier for people. It's when people go west, when you have to do things earlier, that's the tougher one. So it's just knowing that when, we move the clocks forward in a time zone, I think. I'm starting to go off a bit. So that's the two ones. Be kind to yourself. Do things slowly. And the second one, what's the other one I had? Third. Was sleep banking.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So that's just essentially where if you know that you're going to be losing sleep, because on average, the average person loses about 40 minutes sleep when the clocks go forward at Easter time. And they normally gain about 40 minutes.
Yeah.
Even though it's an hour. So the average person, this is on the studies I've done. So that's about 40 minutes of lost sleep or gained sleep, depending on which end of the year or calendar you're on. So sleep banking is just something where, you know that the change is coming. You know you're going to be in a sleep loss for a few days. It's going to mess you up for a number of reasons or mess up people. Then you can just have a sleep banking is just...
Build up some credit.
Go to sleep a few minutes earlier. Bank some sleep, maybe it's 10 minutes or 15 minutes or not, or even half an hour, so that when it comes to the change, then you're going to be less impacted, sort of cognitively speaking, and with regards to your own physiological responses to that. And so you're not going to feel like you're actually dead on your feet because you've sort of built up and you've been sleeping well for 7 or 8 days beforehand, so that hit isn't such a large hit.
Yeah.
And people
not big
one for
4 minutes.
Yeah. People go on holiday or crossing time zones, they normally, one of the recommendations is to build up a bit of a sleep bank, and that'd be the same.
Definitely. Nice. So, thinking about the sort of being kind to yourself element, I guess it's worth considering, if you can, as a, if you're an employer, perhaps, in certain, obviously, industries you can't do it, but you could, if you were really nice, allow your staff to come in for the 5 days preceding or following 10 minutes earlier or 10 minutes later, or try and move the goalposts gradually rather than tomorrow rolled in, you've got to be here an hour. What is essentially an hour earlier.
That's a great idea. Logistically speaking, I can see why they might not do that, but that would be great. I'm sure there are some, because more and more companies are understanding that their biggest investment is the people, and looking after their health and happiness is some part responsible for that, and they can make that path a bit smoother. And so I can imagine there are some that can make those adjustments within their schedules. Certainly, in this online sort of advancement in many workplaces, we can make some changes to that. And that would align with what happened a lot through COVID, where meetings, people were finding that they had to be on a meeting or in a meeting online at 9 in the morning, 8:45.
Yeah.
They, up they pop, brush their teeth, put some clothes on their top half.
Yeah, do you know where the bottom that won't say that.
So and yeah. That was far more digestible.
Doing it.
Well, I wasn't going to ask you where your trousers are. I thought you were weird. I just left it. I just ignored it. But people found that they would move more into their natural rhythms. And we certainly saw it through COVID that people sort of their own natural rhythms. And not because the employer was being more kind to them. It's just because they had more opportunity to do that. So given the opportunity to... And this goes into sort of for businesses understanding their staff's chronotypes and their preferences for being whether early, start early and finish early or start late and finish late, can allow them to get the best out of their best performance from their staff. But yeah, it'd be nice if everyone had, you know, just for a couple of weeks before or after we can be a bit flexible. When everyone gets here, we'll start.
I imagine that it would never start.
Yeah, it'd never start. David Brennan at 1:30.
Classic.
Thinking it's in uniform.
Is it even Tuesday?
Ruin it for everyone.
Oh, I'm just having another thing, looking at the time on the phone here. Maybe we could persuade Big Tech to just roll it out gradually. Yeah. Well, I'm going to say it's basically just all okay, whatever you need.
And so they can just bend it.
This year, we're only going to do even numbers.
Yeah, yeah. We've shifted board templates. Food date. You waving that? You
won't. But it's such an extreme... Well, not extreme. It's you can see why it divides. Because, of course, you've got, you know, a large global population, which some are not affected and some are more than others.
Yeah.
Some, culturally speaking and historically, they've always dealt with the amount of light or dark in their environment. And so... Why keep changing it? You know, the thousands of years before we started changing the clocks, they were dealt with it.
Do we need to be run by the clock? Yeah. Or the planet's rhythms? There's a deep question.
Yeah, that is...
I'd say, yeah, it feels like Lion King, but...
You stand up on a large rock surrounded by your followers.
Yeah, that's it. What should we do?
Spear in the air and that's it.
We'll... Holding a clock, about to drop it and smash it. Oh, you'd be like, what's his name?
Yeah.
Hook.
Oh, my God. Yeah. He was just frustrated. Yeah.
Smashed all the clocks, didn't he?
James
saw a clock. He'd smash them.
He's probably a really frustrated farmer. He didn't want to get up early.
Yeah.
And it spiraled.
I can see it.
Found himself on a ship.
Yeah, because if it had been an hour later or earlier, the crocodile wouldn't have been there.
Yeah.
Snap his leg off or eat his hand.
But I did have to get up early for work that day because the clock's changed. I still have my hands. Makes perfect sense now. Dad, thanks for giving us some top tips there for coping with the clocks changing and stuff. Do you have any tips for when you do get that extra hour? What do you tend to do in it? I mean, obviously, I imagine as a sleep coach you'd say sleep, but I like to do things like write my Christmas cards.
Oh,
gives you that extra time.
I know what you mean. When you, yeah. What most people do, they'll take the opportunity to stay up an extra hour watching a match a day because it's a Saturday night or watching a movie or being social. I remember being in like a club or a pub when I was of a certain age and, you know, they'd still kick you out at the time.
Really?
Oh. You'd be like, what? It's an extra hour.
Yeah.
We've got an extra hour here. What's going on? The clock's just gone back. You know, it's 2 a.m. You turn the lights on, kicking everyone out. Well, everyone knows we've got an extra hour.
We'll go back in a minute. Yeah.
But, you know... depends on what I'm doing. I found myself many times actually working through the night shift.
Oh God, yeah. They signed up.
If you're on a night shift,
longer.
You end up doing 16 hours. My night shift is 15 hours. When the fire service, 15, generally speaking, 15 hours. So if you work through the night when it clocks change, you either have an extra hour, 16 hour night shift, or a 14 hour night.
Wow.
Bundles or
that's right.
Grinding hoodies. Yeah.
Well, you get the pay for the extra hour. Or how does that
happen? 15.
But it's hot damn.
Took a 15. We'll be fighting for that shift.
Thousand.
Just the seed. We used to not into what? It was never like in the eating.
Yeah, that's. I'm like such a job in the camp, but in the middle where, you know, it doesn't really bother me too much and I'll just deal with it afterwards. So when it comes to what I do on the time where it changes, I normally can be quite reactive in that way.
Yeah. I feel my camp is, as you say, I'll be on the on the big rock with the clock in my hand, smashing it, and the tribe behind me living by the
living Laddiston. See. Yeah, sun go with that one.
Good thing you can lighten it. It's go without you. Dan, I've had a lovely time discussing this particular topic and being ironly just about always impacted by such a mass going on early. So I feel spare for them. But like you know.
Yep.
For sure. And definitely. Definitely. We'll catch you another time.
Oh, I've got nothing. I've got nothing to add to that. No problem, man.
But no. Take a second.
Okay. Maybe it's time to clock on.
Oh, yeah, there we go. Boom.
That's what I got.
Lovely. Where can we find out all about Sleep and Thrive, Dan, when we come to you for some support during our clock-changing circadian rhythm mess-up state?
That word, if you found me in a bleary-eyed mornings, where's my sleep gone? Online, our website is sleepandthrivecoach.co.uk or .com. And a couple of socials, you know, Sleep and Thrive Coach, you'll find my silly face on there and you'll be able to get some tips and some hints around these types of annual events.
Excellent. And you're available at any time of day, apart from obviously reasonable, you know, times of day.
Yeah. My waking hours, my waking hours that are free are pretty limited. So if you can catch me one of those, power to you.
You've got still trying to find them.
Yeah, I don't even know where they are.
Dan, sleep well.
And thrive. Cheers.
This podcast was brought to you by Southend City Radio. For more great podcasts and radio like this, visit southendcityradio.uk.